My name is Denise Richards, and I am the moderator for the InfoLink COP, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about some of my experiences in getting this up and running, and also share with you kind of what our vision is for the COP. And I call this a model for knowledge and expertise sharing. It is not the model. One of the things that I think was accurately stated a little while ago is every COP will have its own sort of flavor, if you will, and that's really what makes it vibrant. And I'd like to kind of share with you some of the things that we looked forward to and then some of the lessons that we learned from that. I'd like to take just a moment to acknowledge my co-presenters here, Dave Ross, Keena Hamilton, Jim Mutry, and Ellen Wild, who are all kind of co-conspirators, if you will, on this project. Okay, there we go. The first thing I want to share with you a little bit is the mission of the COP, and I want to point out in here, our real goal is to engage public health and health information exchanges, and secondly, we want to spark innovation. And I have a personal philosophy that you only spark innovation if you're innovative. And otherwise, it just doesn't work. So part of what we're trying to do is really get public health involved in health information exchange and spark that innovation in some way. Oops, my mouse is backwards. One of the things I'd like to also share with you is we're kind of lucky in that we're building on a framework that was already established by a Robert Wood Johnson Foundation grant, which I fondly call phase one. In 2005, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation funded 21 grantees at state and local health departments to look at what kinds of health information was being exchanged in their region. So there was actually money tied to that, and that's always a good place to start. Then in May 2006, PHII and 10 grantees defined and developed a publication targeting healthcare HIE stakeholders. And if you have an opportunity to go to the PHII website, it's phii.org/resources, and you can get a full copy of that. It is for free, and it's an excellent definition of what kinds of HIE partnerships can occur in public health. About the information links background, again, one of the things that I'd like to point out is the fact that if you took all of the years, and none of us are really going to tell you how old we are, of expertise and involvement in national HIEs, we decided we would have a couple hundred years of experience between everyone that's in the COP right now. So that's something we're trying to tap into. One of the questions I get, and actually somebody pointed this out to me a few moments ago, is, why do we call ourselves Information Links? Well, first of all, it was kind of the name we inherited, and I like the name. I think it talks about linking information together, but it's also known as health information exchanges, or HIEs, and we decided that we're not trying to define the domain within here, but what we're trying to do is get the community to define the domain. But the best way to keep things from getting too contentious is to start out with a definition and let everybody beat it up until we get something that we like. So we put together these two definitions. One is from the National Alliance of Health Information Technology, and the other one's from the eHealth Initiative. And one of the things that we added, as you can see at the very bottom, is we're specially focused in on public health systems. Hello? Hello? Also, one of the aims of HIEs, if you haven't kind of gotten the bigger concept through some of the presentations here this week, is the fact that there's the publication that's at the PHII website came up with what they call the five worthy aims for HIEs, and I'm not going to read these to you. You're all capable of doing that yourselves, but what I'd like to point out on this slide is the fact that HIEs goes out to a lot of people. It is not just public health and clinical information. It is community services. It's consumers. It's labs. It's business. It's pharmacies. It's healthcare. It is a variety of people that participate in keeping the nation healthy. And that's our bottom line. So what are our overarching goals? Our overarching goals is to promote public health participation and health information exchanges. How do we get public health to the table? Because one of the things that's going on, as you probably well know, I think I'm lecturing to the choir here, is these things are happening. health information exchanges are happening. The problem is people tend to forget about public health. What it tends to be is the clinical community talking amongst themselves, or it is the bigger provider community as well. So one of the things that we're really trying to do is get public health to the table. The second thing we're trying to do within the COP is we're trying to encourage knowledge sharing and collaboration. It's a big job. Not one person can do it. But if we all pitch in together, we have a much better opportunity to make a good voice. The last bullet on here is one of the things that we feel is very important to what the COP can give back is improve public health workforce informatics expertise. Because we do have a wealth of knowledge in the COP, and part of what we're trying to do is figure out how do we give that back to the community of public health. This is the timeline. As you can see, we are actually a fairly young COP. We were co-funded between CDC and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation in December 2007 was when the funding actually came together. We talked about it a lot, but it hadn't quite come together. Then in February, we had a kickoff webinar meeting. And at that webinar meeting, we just had a group of people that came together to talk about, well, what are we and who are we? Then in March and April, we undertook what I've been calling some unfunded knowledge product development, which I'll address in a little more detail in a minute. And then in June and July, we've actually had some virtual panel meetings, and I'm also going to explain those a little bit more. But that gives you just an idea of basically how young we are. But we can build upon phase one. And from phase one, we brought in our community, charter community members. And when I say we brought them in, basically I emailed them and said, hey, we're trying to develop a phase two community of practice from the work that you did in the phase one Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Information Links grant. What we're trying to do is establish this community practice. Would you like to participate? And all of these different entities said, yes, we want to participate. This community practice is also very fortunate in that we have some dedicated staff. There is at CDC, part of my time is dedicated to this community of practice. And also my colleague, Keena Hamilton, is also involved in this, and she's got 75% of her time. So we've really been focusing in on getting this thing up and started. We also have two support people from the Public Health Informatics Institute. Bill Brand, if he's in the room. There he is. He is a content manager, and he's new to the project, and I think he's going to bring a wealth of expertise that we did not have available to us before, and we're really excited about that. And we also have a project manager, Jim Mutri, and he's back there. So we're very lucky in this sort of like get it off the ground state that there's some really dedicated resources to this particular project. As I've been working through this issue, and this is one of the things that any of you that start down this pathway will find, and the resource will be very helpful in this, but one of the things that I kept coming back to is, you know, I get started on something and think this is the best thing since sliced bread, and then I'd have to stop back and go, okay, what is it really doing for the community of practice? And my touchstone were what I call these seven principles, and actually, I don't have the puzzle, but this is also from Dr. Winger's work. These are his seven principles of cultivating COPs. And one of the things that I kept trying to do was keep designing for evolution. Remember that what I'm doing today in 6 months is not going to be important. It's only foundational. Everything changes. I've tried to keep an open dialogue. Some people who know me know that I have a tendency to talk a lot. But sometimes I have to step back and let somebody else talk and keep that dialogue going. I know there's different levels of participation. There's people in my group who don't say anything. That's okay. They cannot say anything and still get something out of it. That's fine. I don't have to be so nurturing that they're smothered until they say something. I keep remembering that there's both public and private spaces. And sometimes the emails that go amongst the COP members that nobody else gets to see, that's as, just as important as everything they share. Focus in on value. What is the value they're getting out of this project? Not the value I'm getting, but what is the value the community's getting? Combine familiarity with excitement. And I'll talk a little bit how I've tried to tweak that. And I've also tried to create a rhythm. Give them a pace. That's been the hardest thing to do. As most of you know, dealing with really busy people, the pace sometimes gets a little bit erratic. But I'm trying my best to keep a smooth pace for everybody so there's a rhythm to the community and they feel comfortable with that rhythm. So these are the objectives that I've actually tried to coalesce all of those principles around. We're trying to provide a forum. We're creating what I'm calling a knowledge repository. Remember, I have a couple hundred years of experience at my hand. Do you know how much that means in public health informatics? It's just amazing to me to think about all of the things these people know that they don't even realize they know. And that's part of my job, is to get them to articulate those kinds of things. So I'm actually trying to develop a knowledge repository, because some of these people are actually getting of an age that I think they're going to retire soon, maybe. I'm trying to develop issues for further investigation or develop a knowledge products, and we're going to convene some work groups to develop these needed knowledge products. Some of our resources that we put in place for this COP is a website. Actually, our website is what I'm calling our knowledge repository. As we're getting products, and when I say products, I'll talk about, I'll actually give you sort of definitions of those things soon. We're putting them up on the website for people to access, because knowledge is only good if you share it. It's not good if you just keep it to yourself. We have email, and actually one of the things I found is most of my COP members respond better to email than anything else. I think it's a proliferation of Blackberries. Conference calls we've put in place, webinars, and we're going to have a face-to-face meeting soon. I want to talk just a few seconds about the two discussion topics. It took us a long time to find a good discussion topic that most people were interested in, and we had two individuals from Louisiana step forward and say, you know, we're really interested in patient privacy rights and ethics and the exchange of HIV information. One of the things that they were looking at was the fact that they have information about HIV status that the patient may not know because they haven't been able to contact them to let them know their status. What is the legal and ethical issue surrounding that if you can exchange that information with emergency departments? Because you can with HIE. Do we give them that information or not? That was the question of the day. We brought in two ethicists, we brought in two public health practitioners, and we brought in two HIV specialists. And we had a virtual panel discussion on that. And it was all by telephone. And it was actually one of the best discussions I've ever participated in. The second one we had was on electronic health records and the exchange of immunization data. This was also an excellent presentation. There was actually only two people involved in this, one in Colorado and one in Rhode Island. And they basically talked about their successes and failures, and things went really well. This is our web portal. This is our knowledge repository online. If you have an opportunity to check it out, it's at www.infolinksproject.org. And you're more than welcome to look at anything that's on there. What we're trying to do, again, is we're trying to capture the stories and the knowledge of people who have walked the walk. I talked a little bit about the virtual panel. Matter of fact, those two virtual panels I just spoke about are both, I think, one of them for sure is online. We're putting together the audio file for the other. I've also got what I call guest interviews, and I call them celebrities because all the people in my COP are celebrities to me. And one of the things that we're really going to try and do in the near future is a sort of a counterpoint, point-counterpoint, or differing perspectives. You know, some things that work for you that didn't work for me. I want to talk just a few seconds about some of the different lessons learned. I did some one-on-one interviews with my COP members, and these were the kinds of things that I found from those interviews. First of all, why did the charter members choose to join? Remember, I sent them an email and I said, please, you know, we'd like for you to join. This is what they told me. First and foremost, they joined because of the people that were involved in the COP. It wasn't the HIE, it wasn't the knowledge, it was the people that they knew in the COP. And I found that very interesting. They wanted to share experiences, best practice, and knowledge that cannot be found in literature. They want to have a broader understanding of initiatives that are happening nationally, as opposed to in their own backyard. The kinds of issues that they wanted to see covered were soup to nuts, literally. There's a broad range of issues that are within the scope of what these people are interested in, and they're interested in technical as well as non-technical. Meeting formats. When I asked them about the two meetings that they had, they loved the virtual panel. They thought that was really good instead of just a one person presenting, but they got a whole different range of views on things. We also had tried doing operator-assisted telephone calls and the computer-assisted webinar. We found that we got more questions when people could post their questions to the computer as to actually ask it over the telephone, which was kind of an interesting lesson I wanted to share with you. When we asked them how they wanted information disseminated, they said the website is actually the best. It was very interesting when I asked them, how do you get most of your information on health information exchanges? What do you think their answer was? Google. I mean, it's like to Google should have been the verb in my whole COP. Literally, that's how they get almost all their information on HIEs. Secondly, was from they wanted to get information from direct email. They did not, interestingly enough, they did not want at this point in time to have a discussion board. They said, we're not ready for a discussion board yet. But if you're willing to send us email and for us to respond to the group, we're ready for that. Meetings was the other way they wanted information disseminated, and they were very interested in us putting together some sort of newsletter for them. When I asked them about the knowledge repository concept, they really liked that idea of a knowledge repository because, again, there's not that much information out there. They have to, when they Google it, they have to put it together themselves, and hey, it's all much nicer, and somebody else does it for you. They were interested in having audio, video, and text. If I was going to put together knowledge products, they would like it in all of the modalities, but they liked it short. They wanted short sort of video casts, short sort of podcasts. They said they rarely had time to sit and listen to an hour-long presentation, but 10 minutes, they were very interested in having something of that nature. Okay, if you would like to get a hold of us, this is our contact information. And I thank you very much for your time today.
Well, thank you, everyone. I do want to just make a quick apology for the rather unorthodox behavior of your moderator leaving the room. We've been monitoring the situation over the past couple days, and that was actually the call to let us know that a few of us could stand down. So that was a welcome, very welcome phone call. So I apologize and thank you for your understanding. At this point, I would like to open it up to all of you to ask questions. We have obviously a variety of presenters that have been able to share their conversations today. And because he's in the room, Dr. Etienne Wenger is still here. So if we have some thoughts and discussions that we want to open up around some of what you've been hearing today, particularly with this presentation, but also if you had broader questions, we welcome them now. Yes, sir.
Yeah. In terms of the federal approach with ownership of the community, is there an exit plan and an entry plan? If so, how do you get the buy-in with people who have been traditionally and historically disenfranchised?
So the question is there an entry and an exit plan for this community of practice approach, and in particular focusing on folks who have been typically disenfranchised? And I'll take a stab at it, then maybe if you'd like to join me in the response. So what we are doing at this point is inviting members of the Finn community, so those who have been part of this larger area of emphasis focused on the Public Health Information Network, which include a variety of members. I believe we have about 6,000 people or so right now on our email distribution list. A very traditional approach for finding people, people who have self-selected in. So those include several of the Finn community managers who are based out in the field at the state and local health departments. Those include IT directors. Those include system specialists. Those include program managers. Those also include vendors, as well as individuals who have been working in and around public health informatics for the past 5 to 10 years. So Finn officially launched in 2003, right, and then was funded in 2004. So that's been somewhat of our timeline. To answer the question about those who have been disenfranchised, so that's our entry strategy, is inviting the community, as we have done in the past couple of open conversations, as well as through the Finn partner calls, to be giving us feedback, to be talking with us, and to really hear them say, let's stop talking about a us and a they and start talking about a we. And so that is part of this conversation, is thinking about, well, how do we move from the us, you, us, into a we are doing? Exit strategy is a very interesting question. One of the things that's very typical in a life cycle of a community of practice is that people come together for a purpose. And so we vote with our feet, we vote with our time of what we're going to give ourselves to, give our knowledge to, give our time, which is extremely precious these days. And so we may come together around a specific issue, and then we may dissipate because our interests go to other places. So from the exit strategy perspective, there really is not a formal strategy. It's much more organic, that as we come together, we do some work, and if there is interest to sustain that and continue forward, then let's sustain and continue forward. If there is not, great, we accomplished something. We did some work, or we shared some knowledge, which is work, around a particular area that there were several of us that were interested in it. And then we turned our attention to the next piece of work that we need to do. For the disenfranchised, that's a specific area. One of the things when we did our workshop, actually one of the areas that we focused on was the issue of health disparities. And that was a workshop we held on Sunday on a community of practice approach. And it is an issue that we think is important to the informatics community. And it's one that we are wrestling with ourselves personally within the informatics center at CDC of how do we begin to support these different areas. It's one we are very open to discussing because it's something that a few of us have some interest in. And maybe there's a way that we can start thinking as a community a little differently about how do we address those areas. Do you want to add anything, Mamie?
The only thing that I would add, and then, yes, let's definitely hear from you in this area, is that we have tasked our moderators of the five communities of practice that are kicking off with reaching out to folks that they know that are working in these fields and inviting them in. You heard Janice talk a minute ago about how she made phone